Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
I'm really excited to be with you today, and today I'm talking about the ABCs of identity. And our identity is a big deal. Who we think we are, who we are, it's a big deal. And I want us to think for just a moment, because we're going to talk about a little example of this. It's kind of like, so to speak, an illustrated sermon. And how many of you in school ever had a show and tell day? Show and tell. Did you give me thumbs up? You liked it? It was neutral? You thought it was awful? Yeah. Mrs. Lalonde, in third, fourth, and fifth grade, I had the same teacher, that's a rabbit trail, but Mrs. Lalonde had Friday show and tell day. I loved show and tell. I mean, I brought, in a typical Sarah fashion, I would bring oil lamps from Israel, you know, because that's, and my classmates would be like, we don't know what an oil lamp is, we don't know where Israel is. I mean, these are third graders, right? But I loved show and tell. I thought show and tell was the coolest thing on the planet. And after a while, you know, they're like, ugh, it's, she's doing it again, just zip her up, you know. I could tell they got tired of it. But I think Jesus did a really cool show and tell. He did a really cool show and tell one day on a Sunday, on the Sabbath, if you will, in church, in the synagogue. So flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13, verse 10, because Jesus did this incredible show and tell. And it speaks about, he demonstrates this whole thing, identity principle. And in verse 10, he says, it says that he was in the synagogue preaching on a Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. So she's bent over for 18 years. That's problematic, right? I mean, that's a really hardcore, challenging situation. And I like what happens here, because Jesus says to her, when he sees her, he says, woman, you are freed from your sickness. I think this goes with the T.D. Jakes sermon, woman, thou art loosed. Yeah, baby. You are loosed. But everybody, not everybody, but some of the people in the synagogue get their undies wound up. Jesus lays his hands on her. Immediately she's made whole and begins glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd, the synagogue leader, right? The religious dude who's in charge of the synagogue, all the stuff that goes on there. He says to the crowd, this is wrong. There are 6 days in which work should be done. So come during them and get healed, but not on the Sabbath. I just think that's really like, are you serious? Talk about a micromanager. And work. Like, he's telling Jesus, stop working on the Sabbath. Right? That's his whole thing. And he's trying to control, and he's using religion as the filter, religion as the reasoning, the rationale for the confrontation. And I like what Jesus says. Well, first off, Jesus says to him in verse 15, it's a little small print. The Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite. I like what Jesus does. I mean, he just calls a spade a spade. You're a hypocrite, dude. Why on earth would you think it's inappropriate to, number one, heal in the synagogue, and number two, on the Sabbath? You hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham. I'm going to speak into this. This is identity, family. This is identity. And he's addressing identity. Who has been bound by Satan for 18 years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? Yes. And I'm going to give you what I would consider the ABCs of identity. A stands for authentic. Jesus is authentic in his identity. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, to undo the works of the enemy. And I would propose to you that Jesus being himself, it was authentic to him to heal. It wasn't work. It's authentic. It's design, not work. He didn't have to contrive anything or work anything up. He was being true to his identity. And in that authenticity, it was a severe contrast to the other people in the room. It was a severe contrast to the woman who was bent. So this is A, authentic. B is bent. Her identity had been bent and distorted for 18 years, such that she walked around thinking, this is who I am. I'm just bent over. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to bend your identity so you can't straighten up. You can't walk straight. You can't walk with your shoulders back and true and authentic in your divine design. Satan bends you over, and he wants to keep you hostage in that bent condition for the entirety of your life. 18 years is not long enough for Satan. He wants you broken and bent. And I like what Jesus does, because his authentic self isn't going to be squashed, nor, and I'm going to say this is the third one, A, B, C, contorted. Because I would suggest to you that in this whole exchange, there's three individuals. There's the authentic, that's Jesus. There's the bent, that's the woman. And there's the contorted. This is the religious leader. He's contorted and he's twisted because he doesn't have a sense, an authentic embrace of who God has made him to be. So he's a poser. He's trying to be somebody who he is really not. He's not the Lord of the Sabbath, but he's trying to be. And he's trying to do all the religious things. And religion contorts. It says you should, you ought, you're not, you're shameful. It tells you all those things. And ultimately, religion is a counterfeit to relationship. And when Jesus steps into the room, Jesus steps into the situation, authenticity, truth, freedom happens. And it happens to our identity. So when Jesus comes and he speaks to the woman and he touches her, woman, thou art loosed. I'm going to set you free from all the works of the enemy. But I like that Jesus doesn't just dismiss the contorted individual. Because Jesus, I believe this with all my heart, Jesus loved every bit as much. The woman who was bent over and he set her free, he loved every bit as much the contorted man. And by his confrontation, he's trying to untwist, uncontort, and he's trying to give him freedom every bit as much as her. He straightens her up. And everybody goes wild. Whoa, this is great. Whoa, it's the Savior of the world. He's come, he's healing, he's setting free, he's delivering. He's saying, oh, this is fantastic. But at the same time, he's coming to unravel the works of the enemy that have contorted you, that have trapped you, that have kept you stuck, that have created these mindsets in you that are not authentic to Jesus' design in you. He didn't call you to be religious, family. He called you to be in relationship, authentic. And what he wants is just the honesty. This is who I am. You know, we used to sing that song, Just As I Am. I don't remember it. I'm not going to sing it because you'd probably walk out. But Jesus likes you to come to him just as you are. Not dressed up, not religiousized, not contorted, not dotting on, you know, earning it, all this stuff. Jesus wants the authenticity, and you with all of the pain, the yuck, the ugly, the contortions, just come in all of your mess and come to Jesus and let him bring freedom, bring truth, transformation, redemption into your soul, into the core of who you are. You know, I said this is a show and tell sermon. And it said at the very beginning in verse 10 that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath teaching. So then the question begs itself, what was he teaching? Right? But I'm telling you, this is show and tell. So he shows the woman who's bent over. He shows the contorted religious leader, show and tell. Here I am to show and tell you that I can do things that are completely beyond human power, explanation, ability, any of that. And this is the tell part. He shows and he demonstrates, but now this is the tell part. Go down in verses 18, 19, and 20. Because this is where he tells. So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? And what shall I compare it to? So, and now he gives two parables. The showing is the freedom for the woman and the confrontation to untwist the contortion. The ABCs, let's get back into authentic identity design. But then this is the telling part. I just demonstrated the kingdom of God to you. Now I'm going to tell you all about it. What is the kingdom of God like? It is like a mustard seed that a man plants in his field. It's the smallest seed, but when it grows, it turns into a big tree, and the birds of the air come and nest in it. I would propose to you that this is an identity that Jesus is speaking to the religious leader. The kingdom of God comes into your heart, starts off as a seed, but principle number one, it grows. The kingdom of God is not dormant. And it's not an annual that you have to plant every year. It's a perennial that shows up routinely. I love the perennials. Please and thank you. This is a perennial that shows up. It grows, but there's also transformation. Because if you look at this mustard seed, it doesn't, in our natural thinking, it doesn't turn into a tree. It turns into a mustard plant. And I've seen mustard plants all over Bangladesh, and they're really pretty, especially when they have the yellow flowers. But it doesn't turn into a tree. But that's the principle that Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is transformational. It comes into your soul, into your heart. And he's confronting the religious leader because he's saying to you, I want the kingdom of God to come into your heart to get planted. I want the kingdom of God to grow, and I want the kingdom of God to change you. So you are not in that contorted, distorted, weird identity that's hurtful to people all over the world. I want you to be the authentic self that you change, you transform. And now you bring life and rest and to the people around you, to the world around you. You are changed into something that you started off contorted, and now you're true to who you are designed after. It's a transformation. So the kingdom of God transforms the contortion and brings us back to our true identity, our true self. But I like the second thing because he says, what else is the kingdom of God like? In verse 20. Well, the kingdom of God is like leaven. This is like yeast. Anybody ever work with yeast? It's kind of fun, right? Some of you are like, no. But I went on like 10 or 15 years ago, I went on this big jag where I started making bread. And I was really excited about it. I figured out how to do it really good. But I figured out, you know, you take the dough or you take the flour and you put the yeast in it. And a woman works the yeast into the flour, add a little bit of water, add a little bit of sugar. And if you've ever worked with yeast, when you start to do some of that stuff, what happens to it? It starts to grow. And what happens is, and when you work with it, you do several things. Number one, you mix it in, and at first you don't see anything. But you're supposed to, and this starts with the word, or with the letter P. What do? You proof it. And when you proof it, you set it to the side. You're supposed to put it someplace kind of warm. And when you set it to the side, and how long should you, quote, proof it? Any ideas? 2 hours, maybe 30, but you're going to give it time. And I remember we used to cover it with the little tea towels. Remember all this? Anybody remember some of this stuff? Cover with a tea towel, and after 2 hours, because you did your vacuuming and all this, you know, ironing, whatever, and you come back to the bowl with the tea towel over it, and what does it look like? It's got a little hump, right? It's doubled up. And then, depending on the recipe, you punch it down, and you do it all over again. Anybody ever do this? You're like, lessons 101. I don't know, but... But the point of this is that leaven, it starts off and you mix it in with the flour, the water, and the sugar. And as it mixes in, it becomes integrated into the whole thing, such that the entirety is changed into a completely different mix, completely different outcome. And I would propose to you that Jesus is the kingdom of God is leaven. It comes into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. And it's not just for a Sunday morning. It's not just for the synagogue or for church. The kingdom of God is meant to permeate the entirety of your week, Monday through Sunday. The kingdom of God is meant to permeate, integrate the entirety of your locations, be that your apartment, your car, when you're on the bus or the light rail. The kingdom of God saturates, permeates, and transforms. It's integrated into the entirety of your life so that you are authentic again to the design that God has put in you. So family, this is what I say, a show and tell sermon. Jesus is showing, and he's showing the authentic Jesus in contrast with the bent and the contorted. And I like that Jesus does this for us here in the Bible, but I also like even better that Jesus does that for us here on the 29th of June at Galena Street Encounter Church in this moment. So with this thinking, I'd like for you to take a moment, and I'd like for you to sit and think for a little second here. Maybe close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. Is there anything bent in your life? Is there anything that Satan has bent, has absolutely controlled and dominated in your life? Is there something where you feel like you're stuck and you can't straighten up? It's like it's just overwhelming that Satan has come in and continues to dominate and constrict. If you can identify something in your life that is bent, and it can be a physical thing, it can be part of your thinking, it can be predisposed behaviors, choices, that's that bent. How many of you can identify something where Satan has bent? There's an area in your life that is bent, that the enemy has come in and has created pain, domination, and a bent existence. I just want you to think about that for a moment, and I want to pray with you. Whatever that area is, just lift that up to God in your heart right now. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to undo the works of the enemy. And I speak to these bent results where the enemy has kept these individuals in bondage. And I speak freedom now in Jesus' name, complete healing. And I thank you, God, for your presence and your power undoing the work of the enemy. Jesus coming in and setting the captives free so that truly we are the son, the daughter of God, that we walk in our divine identity. Undo the works of the enemy. I also want to give you the opportunity. How many of you could identify some if you will, some contortions where religion has come in and contorted. It's twisted. And it's the shoulds, the ought tos, and the shame, and I don't measure up, and I'm inadequate, and I fall short. All of the accusations. This is the enemy, the masquerade, the counterfeit for design. How many of you can identify in your life some contortions where you're not authentic? It's not that real, unzipped, vulnerable self with God. How many of you can identify some of that? Is there some contortions, some religion that stepped in and twisted and absolutely has me kind of screwed up, messed up in my thinking? So Father, I pray for each of us in the room that have been contorted, that are twisted in our identity, that we fall into the should, the shame, the contortion, the religion. And I thank you, Jesus, for untwisting, setting us free to live in your design authentically, your daughter, your son, in full acceptance, full redemption. Father, I pray for everybody in the room, each person online. I pray that you would help us to live with kingdom principles, that we would absolutely be transformed, and that your kingdom would be integrated into us from the top of our head down to our toes, from the beginning of our life up until now and into the future. Integration and transformation. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are and our relationship with you, dealing with us so that we live in your design and nothing less. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.